Hey, I'm Robbie Kramer. You're listening to the Leverage Podcast, where we discuss using your social skills to hack dating, travel, finding your dream job, and becoming a complete man.
Yo, guys, we've got a slightly different sort of episode for you today. We recently rolled out a dating tracker tool, and we designed it here in-house. And basically what it does is it keeps statistics and data on all of your approaches, whether that's online, day game, night game, social circle, doesn't matter. You enter the data in, and it spits out stats of how you're doing and as far as certain metrics. So we're going over one of the guys' results on this video call. Also, you'll get a lot more value by watching this podcast rather than just listening. So go over to innerconfidence.com/podcast and you can watch it right there on the site or link to YouTube where you can watch it there. That way you can see the graphs and you can see exactly what we're talking about.
So how's it going in Berlin? How's the week off of work and approach marathon working out?
I burned myself out on Wednesday after like that 29 in a row of boyfriends or not interested or underage.
Well, how do you feel? Burned out?
Well, you said something's different, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, statistically, I would assume so.
Should we take a look at Charles's stats?
Sure. Well, I mean, I already looked at them.
Charles, you said 29 in a row?
29 in a row.
Yeah.
I thought Berlin was supposed to be where it's at.
Robbie can go in as an admin.
I'm going to impersonate you. Hold on. Nick made this cool feature for us so we can log in as you guys.
You told me.
Charles. Okay. Now we're good. So
yeah, these are my strict Berlin October results. And then we can change the filter to do all of Berlin.
So the Berlin one's in purple or white?
Purple.
The white ones show his overall stats. Purple shows what you're filtering for.
Gotcha. Okay. So the thing that I always look for the most is converse, which is, did you get them to stop, right? And I was just talking about this on a coaching call I had with Eric Drifter, because his converse number was down around like 45%, and if you're only getting half the girls to stop, you know for sure that you're not opening with nearly enough authority. And if you don't open with authority, she's basically just gonna be like, this guy's a fucking pussy. And there's, you know, like the odds of that interaction going well, or the odds of any interaction going well, are drastically handicapped. So this is good. 80% is, you know, better than average. So it seems like you're approaching with some authority. You know, the tricky part is obviously like approaching with authority while still maintaining that you don't give a shit and,
yeah,
you know, nonchalant.
I've only had like two that actually have stepped around me. The other ones, it was an immediate, I have a boyfriend, and they weren't moving. So those are I consider approaches.
Okay. So you're obviously on a bad streak of as far as getting numbers, and that I think is probably just variance, right?
Well,
unless you're doing something drastically different.
Nick had like a statistics explanation that said it wasn't variance.
No, this is not variance. His average is, I mean, I can't say on this one here because it's showing 6 out of 40, but the stat you told me before is 0 out of 29. If you do any kind of like confidence interval for like even 95% or whatever, it's like 95% sure that the actual underlying average is 10% or below. Like that. So if you did 0 out of 29, which is 0%, right? You could be 95% sure that the actual average that's underlying that data is like less than 10%. So something's clearly different. Now that could mean you were approaching at the wrong time of day. It could mean you were approaching in the wrong spot in the city. Like, there could be lots of things. Maybe you had a booger on your face. You know, it just means that the actual average, though, like, that variance is not due to noise, is what that means. So there's that average is actually different.
You just use confidence intervals for dating statistics. The best use of a confidence interval I've ever seen.
Finally, the pretty stats class is paying off.
Yeah, let's go for the 98%, though. I mean, fuck, 95, right?
I'm going to add three that standard soon. Deviations. I've been thinking about. Right? Yeah.
Right, is that like a p-value or something?
Yeah. We're going to add that soon. So you'll actually see that on the chart. Probably in the next month or so. So you'll know if you're actually getting different results or if it's noise.
Wow. Charles and Nick, you both work in tech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just curious. Anyway, continue the fascinating analysis here.
Something Charles is doing is shitty. What do you think it is?
I think he adjusted himself too much for Belgrade, and he's probably not. They're kind of like, you know, when people do too much of the same thing and then the approaches seem inauthentic because they're just kind of robotic.
Right.
I suspect that's probably something to do with it. But it's hard to diagnose if I'm not like watching him do it.
Well, it reminds me of the time where I got like 32 or 33 straight I have a boyfriend's when I was the first time I'd ever approached on camera. This was back in 2007. I was a instructor for a company called Pickup 101, and I was trying to become a head coach, and I had to get a number close on hidden camera. I went 1 for 34, I think was the actual thing, but you know, over 33, which at the time I thought was just bad luck. But now, after hearing Nick's confidence intervals, I think I was definitely doing something fucked up. Probably approaching in an inauthentic way, obviously just trying to get a number. The girls could smell that. You know, women are pretty intuitive. So they're going to pick up on these subtle shifts in energy. You know, this shift from Belgrade back to Berlin. I mean, it's a pretty radical shift between, well, I haven't been to Belgrade in a while, but I know Serbian women are, you know, they're feminine, they're you know, they're a lot different than Germans and Western European girls, that's for sure. So
I'm pretty sure a lot of them were boyfriends out of like the first line, because if I categorize them correctly, if you hook and swoop and they have a boyfriend, that would be a converse. So it would be like my opening line would be the problem if those aren't all boyfriends. Does that make sense?
So you think your opening line is a reason?
Maybe.
What was your line?
Hey, saw you just now. Thought you're really fucking hot. So I came over to come in, talk to you, meet you, hit on you, flirt with you. Hey, I'm Charles.
And that's what you're doing in Belgrade as well?
That's what I was doing in Belgrade as well. It's also what I was doing in Berlin when I was there too. So I didn't change the opening line. I used to do risk embarrassing myself in Berlin in the beginning. And then I heard Nick's opening line and I liked that a lot more, which is like basically what I just said.
Motherfucker jacked my shit.
Well, the difference is authentic. And so like when I would approach people in Berlin, they would be like, what would you say? And then I would say, listen, I'm trying to hit on you. And I stopped doing that because like I just took out the humor, I guess.
That's more of an American humor sort of thing.
Yeah.
Jason, what's your question?
It says here that 80% of the women you approached, you conversed with. Is that what that first purple line tells us?
Yeah, in Berlin.
Okay, so in Berlin in October, that's 80% of those that you approached that stopped to converse with you, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
And then only whatever that is, 15% of those, only you only got a number from 15% of them.
Yeah.
Okay. And of those, whatever, 65% responded to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
does that look bad, or does it just seem weird that you had such a long streak of no's in a row?
If you want to know what's average for somebody that's firing on all cylinders and doing everything correctly, those black lines are what R represents, based off of Robbie and a bunch of other people's, like, you know, years of doing that.
So you're only slightly below the average for getting them to stop. That looks good. I guess you're not getting a lot of numbers, which is what this all started at, but you're way above average for them responding when you do contact them. So I don't know anything about anything, but that tells me that, I don't know, it doesn't actually seem that bad. It seems like, I don't know, maybe just change your line, like Robbie was saying. I mean, they're stopping, and when you contact them, they're responding. So the problem is you're just getting a bunch of no's in a row. So, I don't know.
Yeah. How many times have you used that line? Like, everyone for the, like, because I think after a while, it might sound as rehearsed, inauthentic.
I use it about 75% that, and 25% I'll do, like, hey, not to be that guy that hits on you on X.
So I think you should kill all hit on language. That's a very American sort of, you know, phrase.
Should I say flirt or meet? Because
meet.
Okay, I can
do meet. Just, I thought you were beautiful. I wanted to come meet you.
You know,
yeah, I like that. The fucking hot thing might turn off Europeans. I mean, not that I know, but just as a way to try, like, an A/B test. What if you don't, sure. Carson, yeah. Don't tell them you're hot.
Yeah, okay. I don't say the fucking hot thing unless, like, I'm actually really inspired to say it. I don't use that in general.
I use the fucking hot thing on, like, maybe 1% of the approaches I would do, and that was only if she had, like, this not, like, beautiful, elegant, but, like, slutty, tatted up sort of hot.
Yeah,
like, she
trashy,
like,
hot.
That, yeah, kind of trashy hot. Like I could tell she was, like, a man eater, right? Yeah. I could tell she was, like, a dominant fucking bitch, and I was gonna, like, come over the top of her sort of, like, dominance by being more sort of direct and aggressive with that, if that makes sense. But calling every girl fucking hot and staying hit on them is definitely going to lead to a lot of resistance right off the gate in the form of, I have a boyfriend, because it's very forward, you know.
And I feel like if you combine that with the fact that you've been doing it now probably over 100 times and it comes off as a little bit robotic, it's just very incongruous.
100% agreed. I use a play-by-play now. Like, even the really embarrassing line is getting contrived for me, because I always say it.
Yeah, you guys have to change the lines. Like, I used to use not to be that guy, and when I first started using it, it was fucking ridiculous, like, how good it was working for me, because I totally felt like that guy, and I just loved it, and I got amazing results. And then one day it just stopped working, because it just became robotic. And never worked again, not even close to as effective. So you gotta change the lines. You gotta, you know, you really want to, the more that the line can match your internal state, the more authentic it's gonna come off and the better it's gonna land. And that's why I like the play-by-play the most, because it's, you know, you're just generating authentic lines on the spot. And Charles, you've done enough approaches where you should be able to be, like, pretty good at that at this point, or you need to practice that more. Because I think that's the best.
The play-by-play, what else am I doing with play-by-play? I saw them walk by.
So, like, here's the one that I used, right? Like, literally, after spending 3 hours with, you know, approaching, I went to go meet some friends, go watch college football. So I was like, hey, like, I'm gonna meet my friends, watch college football when I saw you, and, like, I had to come hit on you. And it was like, bam, bam. And she loved it. Like, I got her number, but she did say she was seeing someone or started to, and I used your line, Robbie, like, oh, the store's open. So I got the number, but it was like, it was bam, bam. I was literally going to meet some friends. I saw her, went after her. It felt real. And she loved it. Like, oh, wow. Like no guys like approached me while walking. And I think it's like that. Now, if I went out for the sake of approaching it, I think I feel like a task oriented and I don't feel it, if that makes sense.
Isn't I saw you and I thought you were hot a version of a play-by-play kind of? Because it's true. Like I was walking, yeah. I saw you, I think you're hot. So here I am.
Yeah, yeah, it's fine. The only problem is that Charles has done that exact phrase probably, 200 times in the last 2 months. So
yeah.
Who knows? I mean, I agree with these guys that saying hot and hit on is kind of like American lingo, but I feel like if you walk up to any woman and you say, I saw you walking over there and I thought you were really beautiful and I had to come over here to talk to you, it's a little more, what you would call it, just neutral. That is like maybe if that lingo isn't landing, the more neutral would. Because every woman understands if you walk up to her and you're like, I thought you were beautiful and I wanted to talk to you.
I think what we're trying to get at is that like a sales pitch, right? Like if you make the same sales pitch 100, 200 times, it just feels robotic and monotone. Like you're just saying it for the sake, right? I think that's the issue. Like if you switch it up, like, have 5 or 6 different ones and keep alternating, it will be fresh. Isn't that right?
Yeah, you could even play around with, intentionally stumbling over your words. because you don't even like that can be effective too. Like there's so many things you can do that just to mix it up. Like you could be like, hey, I saw you here, I don't know what to fucking say, you're cute, I'm Charles, like, you know.
Yeah,
so throw away all the role play stuff, like don't have it perfect, just stumble over words.
The important thing. The important thing is that you're
authentic.
You're authentic, and you're nonchalant, and you're not making it a big deal. You're trying to transfer a good emotional state over to her, right? So if you're in a good emotional state and you're chill and you're fun and you're forward, she's gonna feel like she's gonna be like, oh, I like this energy, right? It's like an energy transfer, but if your energy is like, I gotta get these lines right and make sure I follow the role play, and you're like in your head, that's also gonna transfer. And that's not gonna be fun. So your state matters more than anything else, right? So whatever you can do to put yourself in state and to generate the best state is always gonna be probably the best way forward.
100%. My best ones are when I'm doing something, I see, like when I'm running or walking, and when I see them, I go, and then I come from a good state. Now, if I go out for the approach, I'm not in a good state and it doesn't go well. That's me personally.
If you're in a bad state, the trick is to use that bad state to get out of it. So a couple examples, Charles, if you got 29 boyfriend responses in a row, go up to the next girl and be like, hey, I just hit on 29 girls and they all told me to fuck off. You're number 30. Can you tell me to do the same thing? And she's probably going to laugh. And that'll improve your state, right? That's what I did at a bar one night. Like, I was just getting rejected, blown out time and time and time. So I went up to her, I'm like, hey, can you just save me the trouble and just immediately tell me to fuck off? So, because the last 29 girls I talked to just told me to do that. So that'd be easier
if you do that.
Just tell me to fuck off. Huh?
If you do that during day game, though, I think you'll just confuse her.
Yeah, you'd have to phrase it differently. You'd have to say like, hey, this is super random, but I just went up to like 29 girls to try to ask for their phone number and they all told me no. I'm trying to get to 30. Can you be number 30? and the point is not, and even if you do confuse her, it's fine. The point is it's a social freedom exercise for you, right? And it's not really a social freedom exercise. It's more of a state changing exercise. just to kind of get you out of the funk. It's not going to be effective, that's for sure, but it might fix your mood. And that's what you're going for. Because if you're trying to approach when you're in a really bad mood, it isn't very effective. Although one thing I did in the past too was I noticed I was like getting a lot of, oh, that's so sweet. Sorry, I have a boyfriend. Like kind of like these pity, blow-off-y, but also like a little bit condescending. I just felt like I was giving my power away on my approaches. So I started approaching, and I was in like a grumpy mood. So I just started approaching in that mood, and by just being like more of like a confrontational dick. Like, hey, I saw you. I'd risk embarrassing the fuck out of myself to come talk to you. I'm Robbie. Like no smiling, that sort of piercing, like, you know, wasn't aggressive, but I don't know how you would describe what I just did. But that was way more effective that day than the usual like friendly, playful stuff I was doing.
I don't see how that would work. I mean, you can, I know you're saying that it worked, but I have trouble believing it.
Yeah.
Right? Like being not.
Like almost, you know, I was annoyed. I was like annoyed. Right. Like, hey, I saw you. I had to risk embarrassing myself to come meet you. I'm Robbie. Like that. And it worked. It went, it shockingly worked. I think I did 6 and went 5 for 6.
5 or 6 numbers?
Yeah, 5 out of 6. And I did 10 before that. I might have even been with Amish that day. I think we were together in New York. It was right before the Complete Man workshop. Were you there for that, Amish? It was like May of like 2000 something, 2015.
I'm pretty sure I was, right? I
kind of remember you being there. It was like DJ, you, Max, Big Maximilian, or Mac, not Maximilian, Max, Maximus, what the fuck did he call himself? Anyways, but I'm just saying, try different shit, like mix it up.
Do you speak German at all?
I'm learning.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is just for me personally, because I love foreign language, and I honestly have never really had any kind of success to speak of with an American girl at all. But any success I have had has always been with foreign women. So I might walk up to them and try to say something in German, because you might get them to stop. If you can find like one, if you practice one good line, and not a pickup line, it's a normal line. Like the first thing you could say is in good German, hey, I don't speak German very well, but, and then switch to English. I mean, I don't know, I'm just spitballing, but I would do something like that only because I like foreign languages. And I found that if you try to say, learn one good phrase and you practice it and it sounds good, people will just answer you back in German, which then of course you won't understand shit, but you can switch to English, but it might just be a way in. I don't know. I mean, when you stop people on the street in Germany and you're like, hi, I saw you from walking over there. Do any of them say like, and tell you in German, they don't understand what you're saying?
One did, and I kicked myself later for not going through the effort to just learn, I thought you were cute, hot, something in German. That's the one phrase I should effinitely know, and it shouldn't be that hard to know.
That would might be really endearing to people if you learn just how to say that one thing. I mean, I don't really know anything about Germany. When I was in Greece, if you say anything, they're like, oh my God, you learned Greek, you're so amazing. If you're in France and you speak French, they'll just answer you in English anyway. But you know, it's probably different everywhere, but it's just a thought, throw in a couple phrases in German. I mean, I'm not suggesting you learn German. I mean, that's gonna be hard, but maybe a couple things.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. Also, you can, like, if this will make you put you in a better mood, you could even do like the approach where you ask for like, hey, do you know how to get to this one specific place? If you say like Starbucks or somewhere like that, then usually it'll be too short, but like, hey, can you help me? I'm trying to get to this one specific place. And then as they're looking, be like, just kidding, I just wanted to come meet you. You're cute.
You know, yeah, like I've been wanting to try that. It also doesn't sound hard. I just have not avoided it because I think Nick put a notch on the head that I don't change things up. I have like a storyline and I just always use it. And maybe it's robotic now.
That would be my guess. But, you know, be a scientist. Go out, test different things. Obviously, something you're doing is not working. But the rest of the stats don't look bad. You know, you're better in some, worse than others. Agreed to date. That one doesn't look.
Well, four of these girls that I. Huh?
You can't judge it based on these stats here because it's like, roll over those, Charles.
That's Robbie.
Or Robbie, roll over them.
One out of four.
You're talking about one out of four. That's like not enough to generate any kind of actual analysis.
Three of these girls are like going on holiday for a week and 2 weeks and 2 weeks and a half.
How do I change the filter again? I go here.
No, go to the gear sign on the right, bottom right.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
What are you trying to change it to?
I want to look at Belgrade.
The overall
Belgrade is also the right one, Charles?
Yep.
So this is Belgrade compared to everything, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you did better in Belgrade, it seems like, then.
Yeah, improved. Well, the thing that I was improving was the agreed to date. Before it was like 22%, and by the end I got it to 40. So at the end, I was doing something right. Because like that, if you're doing averages, then I was doing again like 60%. So I did improve in Belgrade. And I'm happy I did.
I want to make sure our par is right for that agreed to a date. So this is all of your stats of all time, right?
Yeah. Go to the gear again. I'm not sure what you're showing. It might be. Yeah, I think it is. I think this is no filter. Yeah, so that's all stats all time.
So your agreed to a date is pretty low as well.
Well, it was low because I had a lot of these going on in Ukraine, and mm-hmm. I got to the point where I was approaching a lot, but I would just not spend any time on the texting. I'd basically just go straight to, hey, it's that guy from the street. And then if they responded, I would go, like, I'd ask them out because there was very little to talk about with people that barely spoke English. So I just kind of shot my shot way too early and didn't pay attention to really trying to improve my text game, which is why that's like probably the lowest stat I had of everything. And once I realized, hey, this kind of sucks, and I was in Turkey and I spent more time on it, I was actually able to kind of improve it. But that's kind of why I think that one was so low.
Mm-hmm. Who else has really good stats?
I think by really good, he means just a lot of data points, right?
And they do a good job.
Oh.
Someone like Dan.
You should probably look at Fernando. Fernando was approaching a ton back in the day.
Yeah.
And I think he was tracking relatively well.
Okay, so he's above. Wow. All right. I was worried that my par was off, but definitely not. Cool. 350, yeah. Got contact info.
Man.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah, everybody's kind of around the board there. Some people are higher in some categories than others, but it seems like everyone pretty much gets those same high points.
Yeah. Okay, good.
At what approach do you think it will become significant from a sample size to do any kind of analysis?
I mean, you can't say because it depends on what your confidence interval is, whether you're doing like a 99%, 95%. It also depends on what kind of type of confidence interval you use, because I've been looking at this recently and there's a few ways to judge that. Also, the tightness of the interval will be a lot wider if you're at a 50%, and it'll be much narrower if you're closer to 100% or 0%. So all of this affects it. Basically, just give me a few weeks and I'll put it into the approach tracker where it'll show you that kind of bar. So you'll know kind of how useful that average is and what your range is.
Yeah, but I'm just talking from like, what, like 200 approach mark, then that would be good enough to look at. I think I'm like
so
a 50
if
right
you
now.
If you have like a 95% confidence interval, I remember I think Charles and I looked at this a couple weeks ago. say that the thing you're measuring is around 50% plus or minus, like you're at the 50% of the time you get a yes or a no, right, on whatever you're measuring, then I think if you do 100 of those samples, you can expect your confidence interval to be like between 40 and 60%. So it's like plus or minus 10% at that point. So even with 100, if you're in the mid, if the thing you're measuring has a 50% chance for success, which is the worst case as far as confidence intervals go, you're still plus or minus 10%.
Gotcha.
And in general, in order to narrow that by a factor of two, you have to do four times the amount of samples. Can people see my screen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is just a confidence interval calculator. So if you have a sample size of 100, 50 of them, you know, you got 50 out of 100 successes with whatever you're measuring, and you want to be 95% sure of something, and the actual range over which you can have 95% confidence is about plus or minus 10, depending on what kind of approximation for the interval you do, but they're all about the same here, 40 to 60%. And if you wanted to narrow that to plus or minus 5%, then you basically have to do four times that many approaches. So you'd have to do 400 approaches to have it within plus or minus 5%.
And what is that telling us again?
That is the, you know, when you hear reports on the news or anything like that, people measure, you know, do people agree with this or not? And they measure some sample of the population. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're trying to get at what the true average is, but you're only measuring like 100 people, then basically, you know, you can never be more sure. You know, if what you're measuring, you're trying to say, like, let's say you're measuring whether a coin is fair or not, and you do 100 flips, you can only be sure that it's fair within plus or minus 10% on this.
Meaning if we determined the average was X, we're actually only sure that it's X within 10%.
Yeah, plus or minus 10%. And that's a 95% confidence interval. So if you wanted the 99% confidence interval, it'd probably be like plus or minus 15%.
So that basically means that if we're measuring got the number or didn't from approaches, and there's only 100 approaches, that what we determine is the average, we're only sure it's actually accurate within, you know, we're only between.
Within that range. So one way that you can use this is kind of like with Charles's data. Let's say before he was in Berlin, like a couple months ago, he was averaging around 50% plus or minus 10%, right? And now he's averaging around 20% plus or minus 10%. Well, even if we add 10% to that 20, that's at the best case, it's like 30%. And at the worst case, the previous one was at 40%. So we're very confident that something's different.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of how you would use
statistics. You always have to do a statistical analysis to determine if you can trust your statistics.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, hopefully we're going to simplify this process so you'll just see the little error bars and you don't have to think too much about it. But yeah, if you want to, you can get pretty far into it.
All right. That's enough math for me. My brain is fried.
Wow.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, go to innerconfidence.com and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast for the latest episodes.